1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House is denouncing a federal trade court ruling in New York that puts President Trump's global tariffs on hold. International trade expert Frank Lanvin.
This really diminishes the leverage he has, and I suspect that he will not be successful on appeal. He doesn't really have the legal authority to impose these tariffs.
That, experts say, is up to Congress. Doge chief Elon Musk says his budget-cutting days with the Trump administration are over. CBS's Jesse Mitchell.
A White House official said the offboarding process for Musk began Wednesday night.
$1 billion for a Bieber.
It lathers beautifully.
28-year-old model and influencer Hailey Bieber says she sold her skincare line Rode to Elf Cosmetics for 1 billion big ones. Her husband Justin toasted his wife's success by posting PDA-filled pictures of the couple on social media. The deal is expected to close later this year. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlau. About 1,000 nurses from Madison's Meritor Hospital are on strike. Savannah Tome Olson has the story.
SEIU Wisconsin, the union representing Meritor nurses, has met with hospital officials more than 20 times this year. Union leaders say they're still not satisfied with accommodations in staffing, pay, and safety. Meritor leaders say they've made changes throughout the negotiation process and they've negotiated in good faith. Dane County Executive Melissa Agard was there this morning as they kicked off the strike.
We know that this was a long game, and unfortunately, we are continuing to stand up and fight for what is right, the moral fiber of our society, those who care for the most vulnerable folks, our friends and neighbors and family members. You are on the front lines of that, and we are continuing to stand up to do what is right for our community.
Pam Reyes is the president of the union, and she's a nurse at Meritor.
We want to be very, very clear about something. Nurses have been sounding the alarm about staffing concerns, inadequate workplace safety, and burnout for months. But management has refused to act or even hear us. And we do not take this action lightly.
Now, Meritor is still operating with visiting nurses.
And this is the first time Meritor nurses have gone on strike. And the Department of Safety and Professional Services officials are warning of credential and licensing delays if a couple of dozen temporary positions expire as expected later this year. DSPS officials say that without those additional positions, Wisconsinites who need state licenses or credentials to start a new job could end up waiting even longer to receive them. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Phillies tomorrow night. The crew beat the Red Sox 6-5 in 10 innings yesterday. It was Milwaukee's first three-game sweep of the year. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's a great feeling to feel like you believe, you sense that they believe, and that's a great feeling. Our pitching hung in there and did enough.
NFL at the Packers OTA practices. Defensive back Jair Alexander remains absent while the team tries to renegotiate his contract. Safety Xavier McKinney asked if he'd like to see Jair back with the Pack.
We would all like him back. I talk to him every day. Just try to stay connected with him. Obviously, we've developed a great relationship with each other. At the end of the day, like, I'm going to be behind him regardless of, you know, what the situation is going on. We've developed a relationship good enough off the field to where it's like, I just want what's best for you.
That's Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an outside chance of a shower this afternoon. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun and a nice day with a high of 73. Partly cloudy tonight with the lows near 50. On Friday, a warmer day with highs near 80, a bit breezy as well, with a chance of a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. Right now, 53 degrees.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, joins us to talk about the state budget going through joint finance and another compelling edition of What's Worse. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Alba Show.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 7:06. Nice to have you here back up north on this Thursday morning, May 29th, a very short three-day work week for yours truly after Memorial Day on Monday, and I will be off tomorrow for a grandson graduating high school. Doesn't feel real to me either, but Todd Alba will be here pinch hitting tomorrow. Coming up yet this hour, we'll talk to Jeremy Gragert from Citizen Action, who brings along another guest to talk about Medicaid cuts and the real life impact on real Wisconsin families if the Trump budget were to go through as passed by the U.S. House. Now, it still has to get through the U.S. Senate, where folks like Ron Johnson said yesterday at a Milwaukee Press Club event that he would not support the bill in its current form. But it appears that Ron Johnson then, either before or after the Milwaukee Press Club event, went and spoke to the student body and medical staff and doctors at the Medical College of Wisconsin. I haven't seen a news story on it, but I've seen some messages on the text line from Matt in Germantown, and I'm seeing some chatter on Reddit as well, including a link of a recording of the Ron Johnson visit. And so we're going to talk more about how he was not really given a break by the audience, who actually laughed at him a couple of times, talking about his mistrust of doctors and still pushing ivermectin, horse dewormer, as a cure for COVID. So that's among the topics we'll get into. But first off, we've got to get to a forecast, which is going to be just glorious for the weekend. So with Parker Olson standing by in Madison, Greg Bach at Radio Park, let's go to meteorologist Brittany Merlot for more about that forecast. It is a cloudy, cool one up here this morning so far, Brittany.
Yes, it sure is. Temperatures across the state right now ranging from about 45 degrees in Ashland to 55 degrees all across the Fox Valley. Mostly cloudy for most of us across the state, even some spots near the state line far south. You're looking at foggy conditions, even some mist. Some spotty sprinkles are still occasional into the central areas of the state. And there's spots of sunshine far north into Hayward, Superior area. And what we're looking at today is spots of sunshine, still clouds hanging out there, and of course, more chances for rain. Some scattered showers and storms could spark up later on this afternoon, probably from about 2 o'clock to about six or so. We have those chances. Highs today will get a little bit more mild, upper 60s far south to mid 70s far north. But we're also looking at some patchy wildfire smoke starting to make its way into the area tonight, especially far north. We're going to see those winds start to get a little feisty. Tomorrow, they're going to be breezy around 30 miles per hour as that wildfire smoke starts to move in here a little bit. But a little bit warmer tomorrow, low to mid 70s. A cold front does sag through the state, which could spark up some more showers and storms midday. Then as we go into the weekend, much drier conditions and warmer too. Saturday is a little crisper, mid 60s to mid 70s. But as we go into Sunday, we're going to be into the upper 70s. hitting the mid-80s into next week.
Isn't that, just thinking about how you said it's going to be crisper, and crisp is one of those, it can either mean like cool and crisp out, or it can be like bacon that you've cooked a little too long, and you're definitely thinking it's going to be the latter. We're going to be like crispy bacon by the end of this hot spell coming up.
Yeah, we are. Summer is really going to surge in here. I mean, the humidity is going to be into the mid-60s with dew points by the weekend. So we're going to start to feel muggy and sticky. Mm-hmm. And then next week, it's going to be pretty oppressive and gross out there.
Oppressive and gross.
Can you, for Monday's forecast, just make it all food related? Like,
yes.
It's going to be oppressive and gross, like a hot steamer making rice. You know, like, I don't know. I'm better at hot buttons. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm better at hot buttons. Okay.
I just mentioned bacon, and like everything's better with bacon. So,
but Brittany is that mind of she could do it.
Oh like, yeah, totally improv queen. Yes,
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The way you sprinkle the word flirting with into the forecast, I've never heard that before, and it makes the weather so much nicer to listen to about.
It is.
Oh, thank you.
We do.
You know, you said sprinkled, and it made me think of that joke where it's every time a meteorologist says sprinkles are in the forecast, there's a guy holding a donut outside of a window. Like,
oh, that's funny.
That's a new joke to us.
That's funny. I like that.
Weather humor. It's the best. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you a little later.
Welcome.
All right. What a win for the Brewers yesterday afternoon. Once again, a walk-off win in the 10th inning, sweeping all three games from the Boston Red Sox, and the Brewers now have a four-game winning streak going after that 6-5 final. Caleb Durbin had a sac fly in the 10th inning that allowed a speedy Sal Frelick to beat the throw home. So that is now the Brewers' second four-game winning streak of the season. And because of it, the Brewers are back at 500, 28 wins, 28 losses, third place in the NL Central, 6.5 games back of the Cubs. The Brewers are off today. They are traveling to Philadelphia for the weekend. They're going to have their work cut out for them. The Phillies have the second best record in baseball right now and have won 9 of their last 10 games. But you can catch that series between the Brewers and the Phillies on several Civic Media radio stations, including Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. If you follow the NBA playoffs, the Minnesota Timberwolves were eliminated yesterday by the Oklahoma City Thunder. All right, so this next discussion about Ron Johnson at the Medical College of Wisconsin was prompted first off by Matt from Germantown on the text line, who also said he would be willing to call in and talk about it. So, you know, Matt, if you're still willing to, you know the number here, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to start with this thread on Reddit and look at Matt's comments as well. But somebody posts there, just want to say how proud I am of the Medical College of Wisconsin student body and medical staff and doctors in attendance at this Q&A with Ron Johnson answering live questions from medical students and professionals. Very surprised he actually agreed to do this in person. For not giving him a break regarding his stance on the COVID vaccine being dangerous, his support for funding cuts, and his rhetoric claiming we shouldn't trust doctors. This person says that he's been laughed at en masse multiple times and is stumbling over his answers and provides a link to the recording. And as I was looking through some of the comments, it included one that particularly got a laugh out of the crowd. He told a room of medical professionals, quote, "Personally, for me and a lot of people I know, we no longer trust doctors." He said that to a group of medical students, doctors, and staff. So Matt mentioned as well that he said that the lead crisis is best handled at the local level and doesn't think the federal government should help, which I guess that same logic carries over into natural disasters, because you're at a point where something overwhelms a local area, a tornado, a hurricane, an earthquake, a city full of lead paint or lead pipes, which again is not just a problem in Milwaukee. It's in communities throughout the state. It's just Milwaukee's the biggest city, so you hear more about it there. But again, saying, well, everybody pull themselves up by their bootstraps, and there should be, everybody should have to fix themselves locally. Do you know what Florida would still look like right now after Hurricane Andrew? which was, what, 30 years ago, if that was the case, or any other place for that matter. The whole notion of this country coming together with its pooled resources and helping one another in a time of need is as American as it gets, of helping out our neighbor when their house burns down and not saying, oh, tough for you, you know, hope things get better. Matt from Germantown goes on to say, Ron Johnson argued no one trusts medical people anymore, saying that it's their fault, not his, and that we should all work with Robert Kennedy Jr. rather than ridiculing him in order to restore trust in our medical system. He also, according to Matt's text, says this line, quote, I've never heard of a poor person creating jobs. Wow. I've never heard of a poor person creating jobs. Apparently, Steve Jobs, no pun intended, was already a billionaire when he created Apple. And every other thing you want to list that created gobs of jobs started with somebody who apparently was not one of the poors, Mr. Bach.
I'm not poor. I will never claim to be poor, and I feel lucky for that, because being poor is a heavy implication. But mm-hmm. I am a business owner, and I have created jobs. I'm not rich. I'm not super rich. I'm not a millionaire at all. And while I don't have to worry about my bills on a day-to-day basis, I'm not Ron Johnson wealthy, and his statement is both stupid and wrong.
Well, it's just repugnant on so many levels, and it's somewhat ironic, given that he was not so much born into money as married into it. And a family business that he did not start. I'm not going to take any credit away from him for anything he might have done to help it grow. But don't again give us this line of baloney that no jobs have been created by poor people. It's just ridiculous on its face. And then, of course, he went on to once again criticize the medical community for, again, not embracing horse dewormer ivermectin as a cure for COVID. Earlier, Ron Johnson told a Milwaukee Press Club event, I should say earlier or later, I'm not sure which part of the day he did these in, he did not rule out running for a fourth term. He said he was simply a guy from Oshkosh trying to save the country. I would remind people that the whole reason he ran for this third term, even though he promised he was only going to serve two terms, was he had to take care of a particular constituency. Do you remember, Greg, what that was?
The COVID, the vaccinated injured.
Yes.
The vaccine injured.
The vaccine injured. Yes, Parker.
This went over my head. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, you missed that originally?
I missed that originally.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, this was a morning event at the Medical College of Wisconsin where he said this and then wound him up to go to tell the Milwaukee Press Club later on that he does not enjoy being a senator, he said, but he also said never say never when it comes to the prospect of a fourth term. Again, he wouldn't have won the third term had it not been for billionaires putting tens of millions of dollars into wildly racist ads about Mandela Barnes. That is the only reason he won. Those billionaires dragged his carcass across the finish line. This is a guy who has never been above 50% approval. He's always been underwater in terms of public approval. And yet he's won each of his three elections by, you know, criticizing the other people, those people, you people, enough that he's able to stay in office, pretend to be holier than thou, and have the audacity to go talk to a group of medical professionals, lecture them, and say nobody trusts them, says one of the foremost conspiracy theorists, not just in the Senate, but in the country. And I don't doubt that someday the tinfoil hat will be given a name in honor of Ron Johnson. It'll be called the Johnson tinfoil hat or something like that for what he's doing. But there's the story based on a couple of different folks, Matt on the text line and from another thread online about what Ron Johnson had to say in Milwaukee yesterday. Now he'll head back home to Florida. We'll pause here and thank you very much for joining us on this Thursday, as we do all these weekday mornings across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a recent report from Georgia, we told you about voters contesting a mass voter eligibility challenge by election group True the Vote. In another 11th Circuit courtroom that same week, a group of black voters challenged the voting districts for Metro Atlanta. The Georgia Recorder reports that a judge ruled in 2021 that after the 2020 U.S. Census, the Georgia legislature failed to account for the growth of black voters in Metro Atlanta and needed to include additional majority-minority congressional, state House, and state Senate districts. The current suit before a three-judge appeals panel contends that the court-ordered maps drawn by the legislature in 2023 may not have met the judge's requirements and instead kept the status quo. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger's brief contends that the Voting Rights Act Section 2 should no longer be in use. He argues that the plaintiffs must prove that the motivation for the maps was racial discrimination, not legal under the federal VRA, and not for partisan political reasons, which the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled is inherently a state issue. Anti-voter arguments citing the Equal Protection Clause and it was political, not racial gerrymandering, are increasing in an effort to neutralize VRA protections for minority voters. Expect an opinion in the case in the coming months. We have more on the long history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at YouGotThis.USAging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And good morning. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes, talking about what's going on here in North Central Wisconsin. And as we do every other Thursday, very happy to welcome in from the Marathon County Democratic Party, the chair, the leader, the top of the pyramid, Nancy Stensel. Nancy, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
There's so much to talk about.
And, there's too much to talk about.
And the thing about it, and I was just saying to you, I mean, you work exceptionally hard. I mean, in terms of, you know, both election season and here the last number of months, so many different events going on. And thing that's really getting to me right now, and I try not to get my personal feelings interlocked with what I'm saying here on the air, but I got to think that others as well. When you see the blatant corruption that's going on right now, I mean, this week I think
and
is
nobody
somehow,
can see it. That's well, what bothers
well,
me.
Well, the thing that I wish sometimes I wish I didn't see it. Be honest with you, you feel it because this week seeing the blatant abuse of power. That's been, and I'm not saying that the president should not have, you know, clemency powers, pardon powers, but when you see that basically the mother of somebody gives $1 million and then he gives a pardon. I mean,
right.
I mean, it's
right.
Just blatant corruption.
And that one is really corrupt.
But I wanted to ask you, when you're out there, you know, you're doing these events right now, because obviously, fortunately, I think right now we're not in the midst of campaign season. What is the general mood of those on the left of the Democrats, because it feels like it's all fighting just to not have our democracy be pushed even further to the brink right
now. Well, I think they're the same as you and I, where we've talked that to try to build some kind of awareness out there, like, hey, wake up, look what's going on. And I think there's a lot of people that are, but I think even, and I hate to say our side, their side, but there's a lot of people in the middle there that are just turning off the news. They can't even take it anymore. And we've got to keep going. We've got to keep going forward.
And there's a thin line, and I think in terms of what I'm trying to accomplish at times here, is that if you just constantly rail on it, then, like you say, people turn off. And it's like,
right,
you have to have... I think the sharp edge, where something that penetrates into
the
psyche. Well,
the stories are good, and then there's, with a lot of the rallies, protests that we've been having lately, is trying to show some of the good that we're doing as well. Like, some of our protests we've done, you know, like, I think I told you the last time we did, you know, a goods drive for the women's community. We've just try to bring about the awareness of some of the cuts that are out there,
mm-hmm,
and just to make people aware. And the Democrats also need to walk the walk.
That's it. I mean, and again, trying to toe the line, it sometimes it feels like, instead of just being plain. And I think sometimes in a lot of ways that the Republicans are a lot more plain, that sometimes they're going to say, hey, this is the way it is. Maybe sometimes the Democrats have to say, hey, this is the way it is.
I think we really, really need to work on our messaging.
Yeah,
yes.
Instead of just trying to
we go out there and we do things like, you know, we feed the homeless. We have like lemonade and litter. We're responsible for picking up a lot of the litter over in Marathon Park at least once a month. And I don't know what it takes, but, you know, you hate to stoop to that level.
Right, right.
But
having
somebody's got to wake up.
I think the strong messaging. I got frustrated last night. I'm trying to detune, but I'm online and I'm looking at a story from that says Donald Trump Jr. rails against the hiring of the new president of the University of Florida. The reason I bring it up is he and Rick Scott and other Republicans in Florida, the person that has been decided on is the former president of the University of Michigan. And they're all saying, well, this person used to like DEI. But the thing that really annoyed me is this president, who's trying to now to sort of get some of the pressure off so he gets this job, was saying, well, back in the past, I thought that some of these diversity initiatives, blah, 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 backing away from it. I don't think that's the way to do it.
No, I don't think that's the way. Head on.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Head on. Either you believe in it or you don't.
That's exactly the thing. That
you're playing their game.
And that's what we're seeing with a lot of the law firms and we're starting to see a little bit more where you're seeing schools like Harvard start to push back a little bit. Because because I think there's something that's been learned in the last number of months is that if you give a little, they're going to take even more.
Oh, heck yeah. And there is a lot of stuff. People are sending me stuff all the time. There was a cute one I saw yesterday where it was Obama, and he's doing this thing. He says, can you imagine if I would have said half of that?
And we keep
what
would
have happened?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, but the thing is, you know what would happen? Republicans would have filed the impeachment and all this stuff. Why don't Democrats do more? I mean, elected Democrats. I think there's a lot along.
We need to start speaking up and stop being nice and playing nice. And, you know, I realize we don't have enough in power right now to impeach him. But the time
you have
Bernie
to say,
Sanders speaks up, he says what's on his mind.
And people show up. You've seen it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's AOC. And this is what people want. And especially right now, I mean, it's sad to have to admit it. The Democrats are at their lowest right now rating. We need to start speaking up and doing something.
And I think leadership just sparks something within people. And that's where, again, it feels like, and again, I don't mean to rail on a guy like Schumer, but I just don't see the leadership there. I don't see the kind of fire.
You're not the only one saying that. Yeah, there's a lot of people saying that.
And it just feels as though, again, that playing it safe in this era doesn't work.
No, No, we need to start speaking up when things are not right.
We're going to come back in a little more than 20 minutes. I want to focus on what's going on here in Wisconsin, because I do think that...
we got lots going on here in Wisconsin.
So we're
going
to talk about
good stuff.
The focus here within the state of Wisconsin with Nancy Stensel. Again, we're going to send it back to Pat Kreitlow, and then we'll be back in about 20 minutes talking more with Nancy Stensel here on 98.9 WXCO.
Well, I have seen you stung by poisonous flies.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
So spring planting is quickly drawing to a close. Now our attention focuses in on controlling insects and weeds. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. And judging by some of the insect reports that we're seeing from across Wisconsin, pesticide applications have to come into play very, very quickly. Jordan Campa, interim manager of the Pesticide Applicator Training Program through UW-Madison's Division of Extension, says priority number one when you're handling those chemicals, be careful.
I know that farmers are out there traveling around with pesticides in their vehicles. And so in trainings, we do like to talk about how to transport pesticides and making sure that people are not putting the pesticide containers with active ingredient in the cab with them, keeping those pesticides away from them. But then also thinking through, if you're going to be out applying a product and you're not going to be close to running water, have a jug of water with you in case you get something spilt on you so that you have the capacity to clean yourself off right away so that it's not festering and you're not going to have to go out and seek medical attention.
Jordan Campa, the interim manager of the Pesticide Applicator Training Program in Wisconsin. By the way, if you're curious about insect activity right now around the state, excellent video up at BadgerCropNetwork.com showing how healthy the cutworm and armyworm populations are, specifically in Rockin' Green County. Markets are next.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Pancakes, potatoes, sausage, eggs, oh my. Come hungry to the Marquette County June Dairy Breakfast on Sunday, June 8th at Slowey Farms on Evergreen Avenue in Westfield. In addition to breakfast, enjoy live music, farm tours, a petting zoo, and kid games. You can also try your luck at bingo. Breakfast and activities start at 7 a.m. at Slowey Farms on Evergreen Avenue in Westfield on June 8th. For full event details, see our event on Facebook.
Yesterday, the barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese gained 3 to 195. Double A butter was up a half a cent, 252 and a half per pound. This morning, we've got December corn down a penny at 443. November beans are up 4 at 1041. July wheat's unchanged. Currently, the June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down a penny, 1934 a hundred weight. That's a quick snapshot on farm markets on a Thursday morning. I am Pam Yankee.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an outside chance of a shower this afternoon. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun and a nice day with a high of 73. Partly cloudy tonight with the lows near 50. On Friday, a warmer day with highs near 80, a bit breezy as well, with a chance of a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. Right now, 53 degrees.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, Visit va.gov/homeloans.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Donald Trump says no tax on tips. Sounds like a good deal? It's not. I discuss with Chef Greg Leon next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Talked about what's coming up on Matt and Air on Air here at 9 o'clock right after this show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I need to tell you what else is happening across the network later on. Todd Alba, later on today from 2 to 4, coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, he will have as a special guest Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And then on the Maggie Dawn Show, coming up at 4 o'clock, Chef Greg Leon on the no taxes on tips provision in the Trump tax bill, and why that really doesn't help nearly as many people as you might think. Also, Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee will be along as well, and Dr. Yoshiko Herrera from UW-Madison, a professor of political science, will join Maggie Dawn. Then on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, starting at 6 during the 7 o'clock hour, author Laura Enright will be the guest. Learn more about all of this, all of the shows, all of the stations, and much more. Head over to civicmedia.us, where you can also listen back to past episodes of all of our shows, including this one. Let's turn to the prospect of those Medicaid and SNAP benefit cuts coming in the Trump plan that, again, every Wisconsin House Republican voted for, including Derek Van Orden from the 3rd District in western and central Wisconsin, who weeks earlier had this strong reaction when told about how the Republican tax bill would be kicking all kinds of people off their benefits or threatening them. Here's what he said.
I want to clear the air, and I'm going to dispel some things. If you're receiving benefits from the federal government lawfully as an American citizen, your benefits are not going to be reduced by a nickel. Okay, I'm going to say it again. If you're an American citizen that is lawfully receiving benefits from the federal government, your benefits will not be reduced by a nickel. Write that down, okay? I was raised in abject rural poverty by a single mother. We're on welfare, food stamps, where you had a stamp, stick it on a card, go to the grocery store. I had subsidized lunches and government cheese. I was the hungry child that my colleagues are talking about, okay? Things have changed. And the same people that told you during the last budgetary cycle that Republicans are gonna cut Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, WIC, SNAP, they lied to you. They lied openly to the American public. They're the same people that lied to you and are fear-mongering with hungry children and those most in need in our country. And it's unacceptable and it's despicable. This should be a nonpartisan committee. They're lying. I'm over it. Stop it.
That would be Derek Van Orden again. And he said many times since then, since the bill is passed, that anybody who claims their benefits are cut are liars. Well, since that time, obviously, there's a line that's been forming of people who would like to remind you who's the one telling the fib in this case. There's also a new ad campaign coming out from Protect Our Jobs to talk about how the Trump tax plan bill that Van Orden supported is also going to repeal clean energy investments that are going to kill something close to 2,000 jobs in his district. There's a lot to discuss here with real people who are going to feel real pain if this budget plan that Van Orden and Trump support were to pass as is. Jeremy Granger from Citizen Action joins us now, along with Sarah Ring. Jeremy, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Pat. Yeah, doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Now, and Sarah, where are you? Are you in Eau Claire? Where are you?
Hi, Pat. Thanks. I'm in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Okay. And in Eau Claire, Wisconsin is where Congressman Van Orden has an office. It is staffed by Brian Westrate, former chair of the Eau Claire County Republican Party, and is now an official on the taxpayer paid side of staffing that office. And there have been plenty of folks and groups that have wanted to speak with the congressman or the congressman's staff and express their concerns about what would happen if this bill were to pass as is. Jeremy, can you tell us a bit more about your most recent visit and interaction with the congressman's office?
Yeah, thank you, Pat. Yeah, we, you know, I live in Eau Claire as well, and I, you know, I served 6 years on the city council here up until a year ago, and so very, you know, concerned for my community and for, you know, folks across, you know, Wisconsin, and in my role as the Northwestern organizer for Citizen Action of Wisconsin. And, you know, we've held, you know, we've been trying to engage with, you know, Representative Van Orden, and we even did our own town hall about Medicaid specifically a couple months ago. And we had a lot of folks sharing their stories there. So we wanted to, you know, we set up a meeting with his staff last week at the Eau Claire office. And it's really, you know, it's right in downtown Eau Claire, so anyone can, you know, drop by, at least try to talk to Brian Westrate or the other staff there. And it's, you know, we want to make sure, you know, we were hoping to catch him before the vote, but it ended up being the day after. It was this last Friday. And, you know, Brian Westrate knew nothing about what had just passed. And that seems to be kind of the theme in that office, is they just want to be, quote unquote, a sponge for what people have to say and don't really know anything about what's going on in Washington. And they, and hopefully they pass it along to Representative Van Orden. But, you know, under the bill that, you know, Representative Van Orden was the deciding vote for, the budget reconciliation bill that, you know, is now going to the Senate, that is really one of the biggest, well, I think it is the biggest redistribution of wealth, you know, proposed in American history, that really is about cutting taxes for the wealthy, and cutting Medicaid as the main way of doing that. And, you know, about 13.3 million people would lose Medicaid, according to the Congressional Budget Office, including 11,000 in Representative Van Orden's district. So we wanted to be there right away, the day after the vote, to, you know, say, hey, you said you weren't going to, you promised that you weren't going to be cutting our, you know, Medicaid for folks. And he was yet the deciding vote on that, yes. 215 to 214. So we wanted to make sure that we were there to, you know, with folks that would be impacted, including Sarah, who's with us. And you know, it's extremely disappointing, but, you know, the Senate will be taking this up and then maybe changing it. And if that's the case, it would go back to the House, and we expect him to change his vote to a no vote.
You would think. Sarah, you were there to, you wanted to share your story. Do you mind sharing it with our listeners of the ways that Medicaid through Badger Care and other SNAP or whatever other benefits might impact you from this bill? What did you want to say to the congressman's office?
Yeah, thanks, Pat. So as Jeremy said, I shared my story with the Van Orden staffer about how, despite what Van Orden is saying publicly, these are cuts to Medicaid and the program, and will impact people like my sister Carrie, who is dependent on Medicaid. So if I could I brought the little printout. This is what I shared at the meeting, and just to give some context, this is my sister Carrie. She's standing here with her parents, our parents, my father, who is a disabled Vietnam veteran, and our mother, who has been a caregiver for my sister for the last 44 years of her life, and to my other siblings as well.
And so, it appears she's in a wheelchair here, right?
She's in a wheelchair. Okay. So she's been, since birth, she was born shortly after birth. She suffered brain damage from multiple infections. So she's permanently developmentally disabled, intellectually disabled, will be that way her whole life. Medicaid is a lifesaver for my sister and our family because we can keep her in her home and in her community because of the program IRIS. And that is a Medicaid-funded program through Wisconsin that allows us to hire and pay care workers we trust to come into my parents' home and give my sister Carrie the personal care that she needs and the supportive care that she needs. I don't know if you could tell from the photo, but my parents are aging. They are in their upper 70s. They can't physically handle my sister transfers. And, you know, it's hard for people to imagine, I think, sometimes the level of care that is needed for someone like my sister. So I usually say to people, imagine if you're caring for, you know, a 12-month-old infant or a baby. All the things you do for that baby, we do many of the same things for my sister. And what I would like to say is, you know, we have lots of issues already with the system. We are overstressed already. And the things in this bill, the provisions in this bill, and the cuts that will result to Medicaid are going to impact my sister and thousands in Wisconsin like her who are disabled. For example, the caregiver shortage has left us in our family. All of our siblings are filling in the care for my sister. It's a really precarious situation right now with, you know, if one of us gets sick in the family, my parents don't have care for my sister. The end result would be, you know, if one of us cannot step in, one of the family members cannot step in, she would go to an institution like a nursing home where we know her care would degrade, her well-being would degrade. And we know because we have tried it. Over the years, we've tried many different situations, and that's what happens. She doesn't get that one-on-one care that she needs. So this bill, you know, I can talk more specifically about parts of the bill and why it makes it harder for people like my sister in Wisconsin and what cuts would do. But essentially, for our family, it would likely mean Carrie going to an institution. Not to sound
so, not the bill goes a step further, that not only either cutting services, or if there are not direct cuts, there are so many new reporting requirements, aka red tape, that people would lose their benefits. But the bill goes on to force states to eliminate their own services for disabled adults, older adults, and children. There are some folks that say, well, it's not a cut because it would be, you know, we're just giving it back to the states, and the states would have that power, but the states don't have that kind of financing. And the states would also be prohibited, for example, from any new, you know, taxes on healthcare providers, for example, to finance their share of Medicaid finance costs. Jeremy, in the short time here before the break, Sarah obviously wanted to tell her story. She got to tell it here. What is it that you hope folks hearing this will do now that the bill is over in the Senate?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Senator Ron Johnson is going to be a deciding vote potentially in the U.S. Senate. And Senator Tammy Baldwin has been very much against this. So getting calls into Senator Ron Johnson's office and also really doubling down on any U.S. House representatives would be big, because this is very likely to come back to them. I think one of the big things that I think will touch everybody in Wisconsin is that, you know, if this were to pass, about $400 million less would be coming into the state of Wisconsin to Medicaid, and coming to our, you know, hospitals and clinics and nursing homes. So, like, and we've had hospital closures here in the Chippewa Valley.
Oh, we know that so well. And that's exactly what these cuts would do. It is impossible, as Van Orden would say, to make all these cuts where it would only impact people who are, say, undocumented immigrants. It's just not possible. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Summers in Worthington, Minnesota bring fun, and a good portion of that fun happens around our beautiful 800-acre Lake Okabena. Our community is built around it, and it has great walleye fishing and several lakeside parks. This June 13th and 14th, we'll have our windsurfing regatta and music festival. It's free. Come and see the windsurfers, eat from over a dozen food vendors, and attend free lakeside concerts on our professional city stage, this year featuring Viva Knievel and Cooper Allen. Check us out. We're Worthington, Minnesota, and we're certainly worth a look.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'm gonna put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Life is so strange when you don't know. How can you tell where you're going to? You can't be sure of any situation. Something could change and then you won't die.
And welcome back. It's Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes, still joined by Marathon County Democratic Party Chair Nancy Stensel. When you say the words Democratic Party Chair, obviously coming up here very, very soon is the vote for the new
state
party chair.
Yes.
And I got to say, it sounds like a very interesting race.
Oh,
and
it's
you're right.
Be really interesting.
You're knee deep into it. And I guess for
full
disclosure, you have endorsed Joe Sapecki.
Yeah, I have.
But you have Ben Wickler, who's on the dump.
Right, I mean, who we have on video saying that he won't endorse anybody, and then he did.
But what, let me ask you real fast before we talk about, you know, the personalities. What is it that you want from the next party chair? And I guess you could probably say why you think that Sapecki is the best choice. But obviously, we're in a very important time.
Messaging.
Here.
Messaging is everything. And we did, a group of us touched on this yesterday morning, where, you know, we tend to go down a rabbit hole when they talk about, you know, say a trans swimmer, instead of saying, yeah, but you know, I got this idiot in the White House and he did this, this, and this yesterday alone that didn't make any sense.
And millions of people are getting thrown off their health care. I mean,
exactly.
If they want to do
that. Yeah.
I mean, that seems a little bit more important than about six trans athletes.
And yeah, and these are the important issues because people say, well, good, you know, this or that was a waste of money anyway for SNAP benefits. And they're so quick to want to take something away from somebody, but they don't realize they're going to pay for it out of their state of Wisconsin taxes because somebody's going to have to pick this up. And so they're not saving any money. Their taxes are going to go up to cover this. And a bunch of billionaires are running off because they made more money off the backs of people who didn't do their homework.
What do you think is going to happen? I mean, obviously, it seems like from the outside, it looks like quite a race.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. And I have thrown my support behind Joe because I think something that the most important factor is that messaging. We have got to be better at our messaging as Democrats. We have got to stand up for the stuff that we believe in. And, you know, you and I were talking off air, too, that instead of pussyfooting around, we need to just say, no, this is why we believe in this, and that's that.
And the thing about it is, and I think, again, I said this to you off the air, is that this idea constantly that somehow Democrats always have to move to the center. We've never seen the Republicans in their most successful races recently move to the center.
No, they never have. They have stated what they wanted.
They are completely wrong, but at the very same time, they are very forceful about what they're saying.
Right. They've stated what they want, and there's a group of people out there that'll say, yeah, go get them. And little do they know that the ones they're talking about are them as well. Where, you know, we tend to be more nice. And I think it really is time to stop being nice and just say, no, you know, we've got people that are hurting. This is what we need.
And in terms of big picture, and I was talking to somebody recently, and again, we've seen great crowds for the Bernie and AOC things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't believe crowds anymore. If you go back to last year's presidential election, how many times did you see an event where Trump had so many empty seats? And Kamala would bring them in and pack them in.
Oh, my God. She packed the house, and he had, like, squat.
And the thing about it, I guess with your hat as a party chair, is that sometimes there are things that may look like one way. They're really not. And I imagine that you have to make sure that, and like myself, and I was saying this as well, that sometimes you let the emotion of a certain issue or an idea take away what ultimately you want to do is win elections and have people in office that are going to do things for the most people within your community. How do you try to balance that out? Because, again, last year, if you went strictly by energy at events, Donald Trump would be babbling for 2 hours. People would be leaving in the middle.
Right.
And yet people went to the polls and voted for him. I guess, how do you take some of the, maybe the opposite information and try to, you know, focus for the future?
I try to look at it because, you know, attending the rallies, the protests and whatnot, and I do hear from a lot of people that will say, well, I didn't like Biden either. And, you know, I actually asked him, why?
I know.
So that guy, I want to know why. Because
how
can you fix something?
Fast.
It makes me very angry, too. But I want to know why, because you can't fix something if you don't know what happened, what turned them off. I think a lot of people are just sick of both parties. And the money, the damn money that is in there is ridiculous.
It's hard to be the party that's against big money when you basically tout the fact that sometimes you raise more money.
Yes, that is so true. That is so true. And money does get put in places to help. But it's hard to get candidates to run because they know that's all they're going to be doing.
Spending
fundraise. And
let me ask you about the budget. Because, again, we talked about, you went there and you spoke. And I said, what point is it? I mean, because I you see the Republicans, they sit there.
Yeah.
Do they listen at all? And also, we've taught.
I can tell you in that lineup who was listening and who wasn't.
Yeah, but as we move forward, what is the best route for Tony Evers? Because I've said that at times, I'd like to see him, you know, say, hey, if you're going to reject my budget, DOA, I'm going to reject your budget.
Yours.
But
yeah.
But sometimes what feels good isn't the right way to go. So what's your thought process?
Always. But I think that's where our messaging comes in, that we need to be loud and clear and say, this is why we want the budget like this. This is what it does. And say, you know, instead of saying, oh, and your vouchers are taking this and this is, just state, this is what the money is needed for to benefit the citizens of this state. And this is how it benefits you. If you'd rather do it this way, this is how much your taxes will go up. Maybe we just need to be more plain about our messaging.
Are you? Do you have an appointment or can you stay one more segment? Because I
can stay one more.
Because I haven't even brought up Tom Tiffany yet, and I want to talk to you about Tom Tiffany a little bit. I know. Hey, it'll get you going in the morning.
It really does.
So stick around.
Thank God I don't have high blood pressure.
We'll have one more segment with Nancy Stensel coming up in about 20 minutes.
Good.
Hey, I'm going to be on with Pat Kreitlow coming up at 8:06. So you can, maybe I can, you know, get you turning around. So yeah, I'll be with Pat coming up at 8:06. So stick around, folks, and then we'll be back with Nancy at 8:22. 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A federal trade court has put President Trump's global tariffs on hold, ruling they're illegal. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger on The Bigger Picture.
Officials at the Fed are worried that this uncertainty around tariffs could lead to a rise in inflation, in the inflation rate, and also slow down the economy.
The president's Doge chief, Elon Musk, is leaving his job at the White House. Comes a day after he acknowledged to CBS News he had issues with the president's budget bill.
I think a bill can be big or it can be beautiful. But I don't know if it can be both.
Beyonce fulfilled a fan's request for a gender reveal at a stop near New York City. The crowd at MetLife Stadium cheered after she smiled at that fan and confirmed it's a boy. Beyonce sang in the rain for most of the show. She has four more performances there. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.